Once again, Beruchim HaNimsa'im. Clearly it is Hanukkah. We know that. Last week I think we discussed one of the secrets of Hanukkah. El Hadi Meir. But we cannot neglect these parashiyot as well. These parashiyot are classic. That talk about Yosef and the brothers. Last week we read how Yosef was sold by the brothers with the ketonet pasim, with them dipping it in blood, the blood libel, showing it to Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Avinu falling into a spiritual depression. And in this week's parasha, it starts the tikkun, where the brothers will go down to Egypt, and Yosef clearly, I would say, on purpose is mistreating them. He calls them spies, meragirim. At a certain point, he takes the money that he got paid and he puts it back in their bags, clearly to try to frame them. And then he takes his goblet, the gavia, which was a very, very special goblet. They call it the gavia, gavia kesef. And he takes that and also puts it in one of their bags. And then he comes back and says, "You stole the gavia." And they say, "No, we didn't steal the gavia. Why would we steal? We returned the money. Why would we steal something? We're honest people. We returned the money. Why should we steal something?" And Yosef says, "Well, we have to do an investigation." And they open up the bags, and then of course they find the gavia in the satchel of Binyamin. The brothers are shocked from this. It goes from bad to worse, this story. The brothers see that their mazal is very, very weak over here. Everything they're doing is going wrong. At a certain point in the middle of this episode, they say, "Aval ashemim anahnu." They realize this has to be a tikkun for an avon that we did. Why is this happening to us? We didn't come to spy, we came to get food. And all of a sudden this king over here is charging us with all sorts of falsehoods. And then he thinks we're criminals. And now he thinks we stole his gavia. And before you know it, by the end of the parasha, Yehuda tells Yosef, "Man no amar ladoni, man edaber, man estadak, Ha'elohim matza et avon abadecha." God must have found a sin that we have committed. Hinenu abadim ladoni. We're willing to be your servant. Gam anachnu, gam Hashem nimsa agavi abiyado. We'll all be your servants. Ve'yom echalil alim ma'asot zot, Yosef says, "Chas v'shalom. Ha'ish Hashem nimsa agavi abiyado." The one that we find the gaviyah in his satchel, "Hu yihye li'avid." He will be my servant. And you go home and go home in peace. And that's the end of the parasha. The theory that I came to say today begins with the following few questions. And again, I came to say a big hadush. The Shivatim, especially Yosef HaSadiq, everything the Shivatim do is with kavanot. Everything they do has a reason. There's no, in Hebrew we say stam. Stam means they just did it because they did it. It's not so. There's no stam by the Shivatim. There's three avot, Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And if there would be a fourth av, it would be Yosef. Elle toledot Yaakov, Yosef. So whenever we read these parashiyot, we have to try to analyze what exactly is the kavanah, the intent behind Yosef. Why is there a gavia? What is the secret of the gavia? He could have put anything in their bag. He could have put $1,000, he could have put his ring. He could have put the keter, he could have put the crown. I'm sure he was living in the palace. There's a lot of precious artifacts in the Egyptian palace that if Yosef wants to frame them, he can frame them. There has to be a reason why specifically he chooses gavia, this goblet. I don't believe it's just a coincidence. I don't believe he just said, oh, what do I have over here? Okay, take the menorah, you put it in his bag. I don't think it happened like that. I think that Yosef HaSadiq was involved in tremendous thought. Even the money that he puts back in the bag, and he frames them, hey, where you put, you stole the money. Or he didn't frame them, they came back and said, oh, the money's here, they returned. Why is he doing that? What's the reason why he puts money in a bag? There has to be kavanot over here. So I said, let me go back and read the parasha properly. And maybe there's some words in the parasha that will catch my attention. And if these words catch my attention, then we can create a theory. Well, there was one word that actually did catch my attention. The parasha begins in Perek Mem Dalet. Actually, Mem Gimal. Mem Gimal. Listen to a pasuk. Mem Gimal Tetvav. Listen, I hate to be technical when we have to read these pasukim, but in order to appreciate the Dirash, I always like to show you how it's developed. And just to tell you the punchline in the Hiddush, it's okay, it's very nice. But the beauty is to see how it's all hidden in the text. So if you forgive me if I'm belaboring it by reading all these pasukim now. But in Perek Mem Gimal, Pasuk Tedvav. Let's do a pasuk. The brothers are going down to Egypt. How does the pasuk refer to the brothers? How I would refer to them? Shivatim. Or? Ha'ahim. Hazaka Baruch. Hazaka Berucha. I would say Ha'ahim. Ahim Shel Yosef. However, the pasuk chooses to use the word Ha'anashim. Vayikhu Ha'anashim et ha'mincha hazot. They took the gift down to Yosef. I look in the next pasuk, Tetzayim. The pasuk says, Vayar Yosef itam et Binyamin. Yosef so Binyamin. Vayomed la'ashir al beto. So Yosef tells his men, Have et ha'anashim. Again, ha'anashim. Udbo'a tebach v'achem. Prepare for them food. Ki iti yuchlu ha'anashim. But Tzaharayim, the anashim are going to eat with me. By the way, that's already three times it says the word anashim. The next pasuk. Vayasa ish kasher amar Yosef, so they prepare the food. Vayaveh ish et ha'anashim v'et ha'Yosef. He brings the anashim to the house of Yosef. That's four times. Next pasuk. Vayiru ha'anashim. The anashim was scared. Ki uvi'u bet Yosef. They were brought into the house of Yosef. So why is he doing this? He must be setting us up. Next pasuk. Chavdalet. Vayaveh ish et ha'anashim bet ha'Yosef. Ha'anashim calls them again. Pasuk lamed gimal. Pasuk lamed gimal. Vayeshevu lefanav. He sits them in front of them, in front of him. Habechor kebchorato vasi'iv ke'tzi'irato. He put them in age order, which they were shocked. How does he know their age? Vayitmehu ha'anashim. The anashim was shocked. Next pasuk. Vaytzav et asher al beto, he tells his butler, Male et amtechot ha'anashim ochel. Fill their bags with food. Again, ha'anashim. Next pasuk, Gimal. Boker or was the morning. Ha'anashim shulehu. And the men left. They went back home. Pasuk dalet. Hem yatsu et ha'ir, when they finally left the city, lo erhiku, they didn't distance themselves. The Yosef amad asher al beto, Yosef tells his butler, Kum reduf ahare ha'anashim. Wow, you have one word that's repeating itself over and over and over in the parasha. Anashim. So I did an experiment and I counted how many times in the parasha does it refer to the Shevatim as Anashim. Hazakah Berucha. You counted very good. I also got 10. I have Perek Mem Gimal Pasuk Tedvav. One, in Pasuk Tet Zayin twice, in Pasuk Yud Zayin twice, in Pasuk Chav Dalet once, in Lamed Gimal once, in Perek Mem Dalet Pasuk Aleph once, in Pasuk Gimal once, and Pasuk Dalet once. 10 times. So I said to myself, well, there wasn't 10 of them. There wasn't 10 of them. Well, maybe there was 10 of them now. Not accounting Yosef. Not counting Yosef. Well, Binyamin they brought down now. Shimon was in jail already. So I cannot figure out the 10 exactly. How would I figure out the 10? Shimon is there already and Yosef is the king. So maybe you don't include them. Without those two, it's 10. I'm looking to see why it refers to them 10 times Anashim. I don't believe it's a coincidence. My searches came up with something incredible. It's actually the Benu Bachya in this week's parasha. Benu Bachya is bothered with a big subject here. Why is Yosef tormenting his brothers? What do you want from the brothers? Is this revenge? Chas v'shalom. I told you 2 weeks ago, the brothers kept the whole Torah before it was given. It is impossible to tell me that these brothers now are being vindictive. Yosef is being vindictive. As if he's saying, what they did to me? Oh, now you'll see what I'll do to them. Therefore he scares them half to death. Oh, you stole my Gabia. Oh, we're putting you in jail. Oh, leave us Binyamin. Is this in order to say, now I'm even with you? I cannot accept such a thing. Yosef is called Yosef HaSadiq. He would not be called Yosef HaSadiq if he was a man that held grudges and was vindictive. That's not the way of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael forgives. Am Yisrael is moher, the soleyah, especially the tzaddikim. So I cannot accept that you're going to tell me all this was to settle the score. But maybe there's another reason. And the Benu Bachya writes that actually Yosef saw that the brothers committed a big avon. An avon that would need one of the greatest tikkunim of all time. And Yosef HaSadiq, who was such a generous man, would begin to create the tikkun for his brothers. As you're going to see. And if it wasn't for what Yosef did in this week's parasha, the brothers would not have a tikkun. The brothers would ultimately become fixed. How? So he says like this, and I quote this in this week's parasha. Rabbeinu Bachya. Uchvar yadata. Ki ketonet ha-pasim. This ketonet ha-pasim. Hayat techilat ha-sibot ve-reshit gilgul ha-devarim. It all started because of the ketonet. Yosef's coat. Ve-nechshav lehem la-achzariyut gedola. It was considered a great crime. The fact that they took the ketonet and they doused it in blood. And they told their father, Zot Matanu. This was a terrible crime. One day you'll have to give me a chance to defend the Shevatim. We have to defend them as well. But we're going quickly to the end of the story. It was considered a sin. Lefichach haya onesh bahem begufam. God punishes measure for measure. The ketonet is a cloth that covers the body. It covers the goof. It's a robe. The Zohar HaKadosh writes that the Jewish people would have to go in Egypt and their bodies would become tormented. Who are these bodies? The children of the Shevatim. The reason why their bodies would be racked with Yisurin and punishment is because they took that ketoret pasim off the body of Yosef, that ketoret that protects his body. So the bodies of Klal Yisrael would have to suffer in Egypt, he writes. Lefichach haya onesh bahem begufam, she'tchil ha'she'amud bahem. The slavery in Egypt begins miyad aharei mot Yosef. Ve'achar zeman, and afterwards that, baharugem malchut, shenidonu begufotam. Oh. Later on in history, there would be what's called asara harugem malchut. There were 10 rabbis, the greatest rabbis of all times. These rabbis are on the status, they're called tanaim, rabbis of the Mishnah. And these rabbis would die the most gruesome death by the hands of the Romans. Rabbeinu Bachya reveals to us a secret. That the reason why those 10 rabbis had to die is because they became the Gilgul, the reincarnation of the tribes. And he goes on to say, Shinidonu begufotam, their bodies got punished, but not just punished. Their bodies got abused in the most sadistic way. Ki haguf ketonet hanefesh. Oh. The goof is the ketonet of the nefesh. We are mostly soul. That's our primary ingredient, soul. But the soul cannot come down in the world alone. It needs a covering. So the covering of the soul is called the goof. But if we want to look at it in a different way, we could call the goof the ketonet. The goof is the ketonet, and the neshama is the essence. The ketonet covers the nefesh. And therefore the asararu gemalchut will get punished in their bodies. Replace the word bodies with ketonet. That means when you see the 10 rabbis that got murdered, you're seeing 10 ketonets. 10 coverings of a nefesh that need to get beaten brutally in order to atone for what the brothers did. I mean, pahad, pahadim, on that day when the brothers took this ketonet, little did they know, when they were holding this ketonet and they were dousing it in the blood, they were dousing 10 of the biggest rabbis in the blood. That's what there was in this ketonet. This was not just a bathrobe that you get in a hotel room. This was a robe over that was so kadosh that when they doused it in the blood, this would already arouse such an anger in Shamayim that 10 rabbis, their bodies, which were like a ketonet, would have to be doused in their own blood as a result of it. Ki haguf ketonet hanefesh. I don't like to write in my homash, but to me that is a very, very special line, and I don't want to forget it the next time I read this rabbi. Ki haguf ketonet hanefesh. Valken timsa beparasha zu. Eser pa'amim ha'anashim. That's why it says the word anashim in this parasha 10 times. Lirmoz al asara haruge malchut. It's hinting to the 10 rabbis. Ve'ayal lo lomar achei Yosef. Like you said, it should have called them the brothers of Yosef. O b'nei Yaakov. But ha'anashim refers to the special, the ones. Was referring to different ones. That these Sadiqim over here, the Shevatim, would become Ha'anashim, the known ones. And then he goes and he lists it 10 times. He lists them, and we have the list here. And then he comes along and he gives us the names of the Asara Haruge Malchut. I want to read it to you because, you know, we all know the famous ones. But we should hear the 10 names of the rabbis so you know who they were. Ve'eluhe, Asara Haruge Malchut. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, Rabbi Hanina ben Teradion, that was the father-in-law of Rabbi Meir that we learned last week, Rabbi Yishvab HaSofer, Rabbi Elazar ben Dama, Rabbi Hanina ben Hachinai, Rabbi Chutzpita Turgeman, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. These are the 10. Ve'yesh lecha lada'at. You have 10 there? Ve'yesh lecha lada'at. Shelo haya bizman echad. They didn't all die at the same time. It was over a period of time. Ve'lo nidonu kulam bi'echad. They didn't all get executed the same day. It was over a period of time. The only problem is, this is where we have a big dilemma. So Yosef HaSadiq over here, he knew the brothers are going to have to come back a second time. He knew that they're going to come back as these 10 rabbis, and it's going to be very, very severe. He knew they're going to get punished because of what they did to the ketonet. So what is the first thing he does? He'll take money and he'll put it in a satchel. When you're putting money in a satchel, the satchel becomes like the ketonet, like the body, and the neshama is the, in this case, it's what's inside. Yosef already understood that something is going to have to happen to somebody else's bodies as a result. So the tzaddikim, they make an image. Before the event happens, the tzaddik, he makes like a charade. He acts it out. How would Yosef act out Asar Harugei Malchut? He would take the money and put it in a satchel. And then the brothers would come and they would return the money. The money would go back and the satchel would be separated now from the money. That is a remez that as a result of what they did to Yosef by taking his ketonet pasim and doing that, there's going to have to become a separation of goof and nefesh. I read you Rabbeinu Bachya. Uma she'amar ha-katuv v'sim kesef ish b'fi amtachto. Go put. He didn't put the money in one bag. He put the money in all of their bags. Because all of them would have to come back. Yirmoz ila'ayyan ki ha-katuv imshil et ha-nefesh le-kesef. The nefesh, and the soul is considered money in this mashal. Vaguf la'amtachat. And the body is the satchel. Ki yu'amtachat ha'nefesh. And therefore, when the brothers would come back, and they would take the money out of the satchel and give it back, that already was preparing them for a tikkun. If the brothers would not have come back, let's say they would have said, hey, listen, he's a goy. You're allowed to keep the money. It's a mistake of a goy. Hashem was good to us. Let's go home. No, Hashem Shalom. Yosef already was preparing, although he was preparing a very tragic moment, but if that moment doesn't happen, there's no tikkun for the Shevatim. And they passed that nisayon. Which means to me, I'm not shocked, but I'm thrilled that I finally understood it. Go tell somebody, why did Yosef put the money in their bags and they had to come back and take it out? So, oh, this is the secret of the Asar Harugei Malchut. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? That's the way you have to learn these pisukim over here. They're all with tremendous kavanot over here. It's not pashut over here. Now, I don't know if the brothers knew when they took out the money what they were doing. They just knew they were doing the right thing. I don't know if the brothers knew at that point, Asar Harugei Malchut, because they didn't know that was Yosef even. But Yosef knew what he was doing. Yosef knew. When the brothers came back and they returned the money, Yosef said, Yishtabach Shema, okay, good. There's a chance now that all these tzaddikim that did what they did, they're going to be able to now separate their body from goof, from nefesh, in order to make the tikkun for the ketonet pasim. But this theory, I have to admit, has a problem with it. I don't know if you figured out the problem, but it's a problem. Because how many brothers were involved with the sale of Yosef? Well, let's figure it out here. Don't include Yosef because he was the victim. You can't include Binyamin because he wasn't born, he wasn't there. And you really can't include Reuben because Reuben wanted to save his brother. Reuben was the one that was on Yosef's side. So according to my count, I took out Yosef, I took out Binyamin, I took out Reuven, I'm left with 9 brothers. So how do you have 9 brothers that sin, and then you have 10 tzaddikim? I don't have a problem, 9 for 9. But why is it 10 for 9? Oh, wow. We have Kabbalistim over here. Before we get to the Kabbalistim, that same rabbi, the Rabbeinu Bachya, deals with it. We have to stay with the same rabbi today. The Rabbeinu Bachya, if you go to Perashat Vayeshev, this week's Perashah, it's in For those that want sources, there's somebody that always listens to these recordings. They say, Rabbi, you don't give us the sources. We want to know where the sources are. So the source is Lamed Chet Pasuk Bet in Rabbeinu Bachya. I quote, ומן הידוע שהחטא הוא, the sin of the brothers, לא היה אפשר להתברר ולהתלבן רק בסוד הגלגול בעשרה הרוגי מלכות. Wow, so there'd be no other way. The sin could only be fixed with the ten rabbis. ומה שהיו עשרה הרוגי מלכות, ואחים בעלי מעשה לא היו אלא תשעה. He asked the question. If there were only nine. So let me give you one of his answers. But I'm sorry to tell you, I'm going to have to cause a rejection to this answer, because clearly the Arizal does not agree with this. One of the answers he says is, Yesh Tomar, Nifkad al Reuven. Reuven's counted. What did Reuven do? Reuven tried to save him. Why should he get punished? Velo b'shvil Hayt Yosef. Not because of Hayt Yosef. Sharei Reuven lo chata b'mchirato. He didn't make the sin of the sale. Abal het bilha. Oh, look at that, see that? Because he moved his father's bed. So they threw him into the which is a b'chadush. According to Rabbeinu Bachya, that means nine of them were punished for Yosef. And they said, listen, once we're punishing you, ready, Reuven, join them. You have also Avon in your pocket, the Bilha. They put them in there. They mixed them all together. Okay, I have no problem. But I do have a problem, because there was a rabbi called Rabbeinu Ari. Rabbeinu Ari was an amazing rabbi. He was able to tell you whose Gilgul was who. I mean, it's incredible. He saw somebody, he knew who the Gilgul was. There was one time in the Arizal, in the Shi'ud, one of his students walked in. Rabbi Shmuel di Uzida. That's the student of Rabbeinu Ari. He wrote a sefer called Midrash Shmuel on Pirkei Avot. We have it. Rabbi Shmuel di Uzida. He walks into the Shi'ud. Rabbeinu Ari stands up for him. Baruch Abba, Baruch Abba. He's standing up for his student. He says, what mitzvah did you do today? You did a great mitzvah. He said, well, there was somebody in captivity. On the way to the yeshiva, I helped save that person from captivity. He says, you know, there was a big rabbi in the Gemara, called Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. He also was involved in this mitzvah. And when you went to do that mitzvah, Rabbi Pinchas came into your body. And when you walked into the yeshiva today, you have the neshama of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. That's why I stood up. So, you see, the Ben Ali, he saw everything. He saw whose neshama you were carrying, whose ibud you had, whose gilgul you had. This is the type of rabbi it was. So the Ben Ali says, we know who the Reuven is. The Reuven was a great rabbi called Rabbi Eliezer Ben Horkanus. That's the Reuven. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus was not one of the ten rabbis. So once Rabbeinu Ari tells us that, we know all the Torah that the Arizal learned was from Eliyahu Navi. So once Arizal says it, we have no doubts anymore. Now Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus, I'll tell you a secret about him. He was referred to in the Gemara as Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. The Mekubalim write, because he was Reuven, who was the as oldest child. Since Reuven was also the Gadol, he was the Bechor. So they nicknamed Rabbi Eliezer a Gadol. Why is he Gadol? Not because he was tall. Because he's Gadol, he's Reuven. And that's why when Reuven was born, what did Leah say? Hazaka uberucha, but in English it doesn't work good. In Hebrew she said, Ki ra'a Hashem et onyi. God saw my pain. She said, Ki ra'a. And the Zohar Kadosh writes, Ra'a is Rashi Tevot, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. That already she saw when Reuben was born, Kira'ah, my son's going to be one day another big tzaddik, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, the Gilgul. There was a rabbi called Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai. He was the rabbi of Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. One day Rabbi Yohanan, who was a great rabbi, he loved his students, he decided to give them all praises. And the praises of the students are written in Pirkei Avot. It says, Af hu haya moneh shevachan. He listed their praises. And he turned to his student, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus. He says, Rabbi Eliezer, bor si che'eno me'abed tipa. He calls him a bor. He's like a bor. He's like a pit that's paved, that doesn't lose a drop of water. Because he had a good memory, Rabbi Eliezer. Ah, so the Mekubalim all say, there's a sefer called Deb Aryeh. He says, what? You think of Yohanan? He could call him anything. He decides to call his student, you remind me of a bor. Why remind you of a bor? Because what did Reuven do? It was Reuven that said, don't kill him, throw him into the bor. And therefore, Rabbi Yohanan, who had Ruach HaKodesh as well, when he looks at his student, Rabbi Eliezer, he says, this is Borsi, Che'enu Ma'abeti Pa. This I see over here is Borsi, you are the one that decided to save your brother Yosef and throw him into the bor. So, once we know that, ladies, that Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus represents the Uven, so we have to have a different answer then. So we're back to the question. It's 9 brothers, 10 rabbis. Who is the 10th? No, he's one of the rabbis. There's 10 rabbis, 9 brothers. Oh, so again, ladies, you know much more than I do on this subject, obviously. I don't profess to know anything on this. I'm just reading whatever it says in the books here. God bless you. So he says, Lomar, this big hadush, big hadush. Yesh Lomar. Nefishe gam Yosef hata. Oh. We always thought, Hazid, Yosef is guilty. He's innocent. He's the victim. When you don't leave Yosef, he's not so innocent. Because if you remember, the brothers just didn't come after Yosef for nothing. The Pasuk says, Vayaveh Yosef et dibatam ra'ayla bihem. Yosef, for whatever reason, was going back to the father and saying, oh, the brothers do this, the brothers do that. They felt he was like tattletaling on them. And they felt that, why is Yosef always telling your daddy on us? What was he getting us in trouble for? So, we're not saying that the brothers were justified, but Yosef has a piece of it. It wasn't as if Yosef was learning Zohar and the brothers came and jumped on him. No, he was part of it. He started. There was a great rabbi called Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was a Gaon. Should be Gaonim. All the Soloveitchik dynasty, they were gifted. Hashem gave them matana, a gift. The brains were very, very smart. This Rav Chaim, when he was young, maybe 4 years old, he's in the backyard and he's playing with his kids and they get into a fight. He's 4 years old. His father calls him into the room. He tells him, Chaim, the first part of the Pasuk or the second part of the Pasuk? So Rav Chaim Brisker says, the second part of the Pasuk. He says, okay, go out and play. The people that were standing there, what is he talking? So they go to Rav Chaim Brisker, they said, what did your father ask you and what did you answer? He said, well, I'm assuming he knew that I was in the fight. And he wants to know who started the fight. So the Pasuk says by Yishmael, Yado Bakol. His hand is in everybody. V'yad kol bo, and everybody's hand is in him. So he wants to know, did I start or did they start? Yado Bakol, is my hand in them or is their hand in me? So I told him, it's the second part. Their hand was in me. V'yad kol bo. So I said, impossible. They went back to Rav Chaim's father. They asked, they said, exactly what I meant. Of course, that's what I meant. 4 years old already, they're talking in the mazim like this. He was known to be a very, very sharp. One time his mother saw him, his hands were dirty. And he's playing in the mud, like the kids play. So the Rav Chaim Bishka's mother says, Chaim, did you ever see your mother's hands dirty like that? So he says, no, but your mother probably did. The answer's good, One time his father, I'll tell you one more story about the tzaddikim. One time his father wanted to show to him that he had to get up early for shul. And he was a young kid, sometimes he gets up late. So one time the father of Rav Chaim comes home from shul, and he found, the father of Rav Chaim found a gold coin. So he tells him, Chaim, you see, I went to shul early, and look what I found. I found the gold coin. You see how, you see the reward? So Rav Chaim says, no, that means the guy who woke up before you lost it. So I mean, he turned it around. He said, see, getting up early is no good. The guy who woke up before you lost the coin, so he's guilty. Anyway, why am I telling you this? Because who started over here? Is it the first half of the Pasuk, or is it the second half of the Pasuk? So the Beru Be'aya says, Yosef started. He writes, Halo haya siba kesheya mistarer alecha v'nechpadim ha'gedolim. Listen, he was younger, and they were older, and they felt that they were being disrespected. He was angering them. The dreams, you're going to bow to me, you're going to this. The Beru Be'aya said he was guilty. Since he was part of the sin, unbelievable. So it comes out that Yosef was part of the sin. The question is, who was he? Which one of the ten? I have over here a rabbi called Rav Hida. Rav Hida, Rabbeinu Chaim Yosef David Azulai. He wrote a sefer called Midbar Kedemot. One introduction before I say what I say. In Hebrew, a father is Av, and a son is called Ben. I want to teach you that when we say in Kabbalah, for example, Av does not mean biological father. It means who was your original Gilgul. Where did you come from? That's what Av means. Ben is the Gilgul and Av is the original. I'll give you an example. I don't know if you ladies ever make vidui. You know, Hatanu, Aminu, Pashanu. Maybe there's no reason for you to make vidui. You're all righteous. But I make vidui, for example. Anyway, in the vidui we say Hatanu, Aminu, Pashanu. Anachnu, Vabotenu. We have sinned and our fathers have sinned. The great Rav Hida asks, Chutzpah, who are you to come along and say that your father sinned? If your father made a sin, let him atone for it. Is it respectful for the child to come along and say, Hatanu, Aminu, Pashanu? Not only did we sin, but our fathers are just as guilty. Chutzpah, how could we come along and say, Hatanu, Aminu, Pashanu, Anachnu, Vabotenu? So it means, no, it doesn't mean your biological father. It means your origin, which means you must have been the Gilgul of somebody. So the one that you came from, he's called your father, the Av. And that's why you probably came back, in order to fix the sin of the one that you came from. So, Atanu, Avinu, Anachnu, Vabotenu. Abotenu means our previous Gilgul. So if I were to say like this, and as an example, in Kabbalah, Yaakov ben Abraham. That would mean Yaakov, whose father is Abraham, but not biological, his Gilgul of Abraham. Very good. Once you know that, I read you the Hidah. The Hidah says, Rabbi Akiva alav shalom, hayabo nitzotzot nishamot elyonot. He had very big souls inside of him. Hu ayam mitipat Yosef asadik. And he carried the soul of Yosef. That's why, what do we call Rabbi Akiva? Akiva ben Yosef. The reason why he's called Akiva ben Yosef, not only because his father's name was Yosef, that ben Yosef is representing the original Yosef HaSadiq. And therefore in the Asararu Gem Malchut, Rabbi Akiva is representing Yosef HaSadiq. That's the case. That he's representing Yosef HaSadiq. We have to see a connection between them. There has to be a connection. There has to be a connection between the two. One connection I found. I'm finding it in the Sefer now. Oh. The Baal Shem Tov writes a rule. The rule is that if somebody wants to help somebody else make a tikkun, he has to be part of the tikkun himself. You cannot be fixed by an outsider. If I'm going to go bring somebody from the mud, I also have to get my hands dirty to save him from the mud. The person who's dirty can fix somebody else who's dirty. But somebody that's squeaky clean, that has no connection to the Avon, cannot make a tikkun. It's a long piece. They go on to say that Yosef HaSadiq understood that he was going to have to pay a price also. Which is a good thing, because if he can pay a price, so then already he'll be able to fix his brothers. If he's part of the Avon, that means he can pull his brothers out of the mud as well, because he's dirty like them. And at this point, the Ben Ubakia writes, when Yosef told his brothers at the end of this week's parasha, after everything's done, he does the gabia, he does the money, he does all the tikkun, he says, Ve'atem, regarding you, alu leshalom el abichem. What does it mean, alu leshalom? Now that the tikkun is made, you will rest in peace. Alu leshalom el abichem shebashamayim. Not Yaakov Avinu. After I did what I did to you now, you're going to have to come back anashim 10 times. There's going to have to be, I'm going to be with you. But it's finished. I'm done with you. You have nothing to worry about. Ve'atem alu leshalom el abichem. Abichem means Abichem Shemashamayim. But what does he tell him in the beginning? He says, you know why I'm able to make this tikkun? Ha'ish Hashem nimsa gaviyah biyado. The tikkun was done with the gaviyah. I don't want to confuse you, but there was a rabbi called Megale Amukot. How should I say this? You know, God has many names. One of the names of God is the name of 72. Shem Ab, we call it. How could God have a name that equals 72? God's name equals 26. Yudke Vavke. But the Arizal says, if you take Yudke Vavke and you spell it like I'm telling you now, Yud, Yud Vav Dalet, that's 20. He is He Yud, that's 15, that's 35. Vav, Yud Vav. That's 22. So that's 57. Hey Yud is 15, that's 72. That is called God's name of ultimate mercy. It's called Shem Ayin Bet Ab. How are you going to remember that? That it's the name of mercy. How do you say mercy in Hebrew? Chesed. Chesed. Okay. I shouldn't ask. Chesed. Chesed. How much is Chesed? Chesed Samech Dalet is 72. Chesed is 72 because the Kala spends God's name of Chesed, which is Shem Ab. Yud Vav Dalet, He Yud, Vav Yud Vav, and He Yud. The Arizal says, on Hanukkah, when you're lighting the Nerot Hanukkah, 13 Midot of Rahamim come down every single night. 13 measures of Rahamim come down. 13 Hasadim. He says, there's 13 midot, Kael, Rahom, V'Hanun, Erech, Epaim, Rebbe, Chesed, V'Men, Nusser, Chesed, Apim, Nusser, Avon. And if you take the first beracha of the Nerot, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kedeshanu Mustafa Sivanu Ladik Ner Hanukkah, there's 13 words. He said, when you say the 13 words of the first beracha, it's like you're saying the 13 midot of Rahamim. Every word is connected to another midah. And every night of Hanukkah is against the midah. The first night is El, the second night is Rahum, the next night Hanun, Erech, today is Apayim. Now you can ask me a question. Hakam, there's 13 midot, there's only 8 days of Hanukkah. On the last day of Hanukkah, we finish them off. That's why the 8 days, the holiest day. Today's Apayim. Rav Chesed, the Emet. On the 8th day, it's Noser Chesed, the Alafim, Noser Avon, the Fesh, the Hatav, and the Keh. It's all the rest of the Midot. That's why the 8th day of Hanukkah is a tremendous day. The 13 Midot of Rachamim. The Mekubalim write that when Yosef was making this tikkun, although it looks like a very bitter tikkun, but ultimately every tikkun is for the best. And therefore it says, he brought upon them 13 Shem Ab, 13 times Ab. Each one of the Shebatim, including himself, because he knew he was part of it. He was Mechaven. Shem Ab, Shem Ab, Shem Ab. He brought Chesed. He says, although it seems what I'm doing to you is cruel, but it's, trust me, it'll make the ultimate tikkun. And that was the secret, he says, of the Gaviyah. Gaviyah is Gimal Bet Yud Ayin. Well, it's Gaviyah is Ayin Bet Yud Gimal. Oh, Yud Gimal Ayin Bet. 13 times Ayin Bet. Yag'ab. That's really how you're supposed to say the word Gaviyah. Yag'ab. 13 times Ab. When Yosef was making tikkunim over each one, he said, it's going to fix you. And that's why at the end he says, V'atem alud shalom, finish, you're going to peace. And you know why I'm able to do it? Because he is Rabbi Akiva, and the Mekubalim write that if you take the word Gaviyah, Gaviyah is Rashi Tevot, Gilgul Akiva ben Yosef. That's the secret of the Gaviyah. Yosef is playing with the Gaviyah because he's the Gaviyah. He represents that. And if he is Akiva ben Yosef, then he can fix the other brothers as well. And he has to tell the brothers, it's going to be okay. This tikkun is something that has to be done for your benefit. Alu l'shalom el avichem shemashamayim. And of course, when the time came, we know that Rabbi Akiva, he died in a very, very interesting way, and I'll conclude with this. He died with saying the Shema. None of the other 9 died by saying Shema. We don't know how they died, we don't know what they said before they died. Or maybe we do, some of them actually. We do know what they said, but Rabbi Akiva was the only one that said Shema. Why? You remember in last week's Perasha? No, sorry. You know, how could you remember? It's next week's Perasha. In next week's Perasha, you see something amazing. In next week's Perasha, in Perek Memhe, Perek Memhe Tedvav. Ladies, then I have to go. I want to eat the leftovers from the bar mitzvah, if you don't mind. I didn't get to eat the bar mitzvah thing today. So that mitzvah. But it says in this pasuk, when Yosef finally reveals himself to the brothers, v'yinashek lekol ehav, kisses them, v'yefk alehim. How do you learn v'yefk alehim? Bacha, I know bacha. Alehim. I always understood he cried on them. Meaning, he fell on them like, alehim. Or could alehim mean, he cried alehim regarding them. He cried for them. Right, he felt for them. Something happened to the brothers. Vayefk alehim. He cried for them. Why did she cry for them? What happened to the brothers? They were all healthy, nothing. Why should he cry for them? Nothing happened to them. Everybody was fine. If anything, he was the one that got victimized. The brothers were good. Why should he cry for them? Unless he cried that that there's going to be a tikkun over there, that's going to be a miserable tikkun. The mikubalim write, if you take the word alehem, ayin lamid hem mem, atidim dehiyot harugem malchut. Vayefk alehem. He said, oh, what's going to be? Atidim dehiyot harugem malchut, they're going to be harugem malchut. That's why he cried. Last but not least, Yaakov comes down. He sees Yosef for the first time. He says, I have to go down by Yisrael. He comes down. What does the Pasuk say? When he meets him for the first time, the Pasuk writes, here it is. Vayira elav. Yosef appears to his father. Vayipol al sabarav. He falls on him. Vayefk al sabarav od. And he falls on him. So the Pasuk says over here, but what happened? Yosef falls on his father, but his father doesn't hug him back. When you're hugging somebody, isn't it mutual? It seems Yaakov stood like this. He was a stick. And Yosef is hugging him. And his father doesn't move. So where's the emotion of Yaakov? So that she's bothered, that she's... But Yaakov, don't have fun on somebody, Yosef. Why doesn't he fall back? V'amru rabotenu, sheya kore et shema. Oh, he was reading Shema. I guess it was the Zman of Kiryat Shema. What do I know? So Yaakov Avinu, he's reading Shema. So he can't interrupt the Shema. So, Yosef, how come you're not reading the Shema? I'll tell you why he wasn't reading the Shema. But Yosef said a big hadush over here. Shema gives kavod to the Shekhinah. But you know who's equal to the Shekhinah? Not only your father, your rabbi. Who is the rabbi of Yosef? Yaakov. There's a pasuk that we read in the Torah. Et Adonai Elohecha Tira. You have to fear God. You know what the Gemara says the et is coming to include? Et Lerabot Talmidei Hachamim. That you have to fear God, and you know who's equal to the fear of God? The Hachamim, your rabbi. And who taught us that Hiddush? Yosef. When Yosef saw his father reading Shema, he says, my responsibility is to my father, more than the Shekhinah, because the Shekhinah is equal to my father. Kavod Rabbo is like Kavod Shamayim, Morah Rabbah ki Morah Shamayim. So he respected his father. He said, I let him read the Shema, and I'm hugging my father, hugging the Shekhinah. Incidentally, who made that Hiddush Et L'Rabbot Tamidei Hachamim? Rabbi Akiva. He's the rabbi of that Hiddush. Where did he get it from? From his Gilgul, Yosef. But it comes out, at that moment, he wasn't saying the Shema. He would have to make the tikkun of that Shema. He missed the Kiryat Shema because he was hugging his father. When would that Shema come back? Hazak Baruch. At the end of Rabbi Akiva's life, the last tikkun. Now he's coming to die for Yosef. He says, wait, if I'm dying for him, let me fix him. And all of a sudden he says, Shema, he says, Shema, I'm ahad. And the students, the heavenly voice comes and says, Ashrecha Akiva, Shiyatza Nishmatcha Be'echad, Ashrecha Akiva, that your words, your neshama has left with the word Echad, because you have finally made the tikkun of the Shivati. And now the Shivatim were complete. The 10 Shivatim, and now you have but Binyamin, of course. Reuven, of course. So now everybody's fine. This is a lesson, ladies over here. You can't learn these pesukim, you can't learn these stories without the aid of Hazal, without the aid of the Mikubalim, of the Zohar HaKadosh, of the Rabbeinu Bahya, etc. The sod of the Asara Rugem Malchut is in these parashiyot. 10 times Anashim, the secret of the satchel and the keset, which is the secret of the ketonet pasim, the secret of the gaviyah, which is Gilgul, Akiva bin Yosef, and Yag'ab, the 13 times Av, and the secret of who was the 10th, Yosef HaSadiq. To come along and say, I'm a victim, he was part of it. And therefore he needed to, and that's why we call our great rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, which means the Gilgul of Yosef. And I say that that piece of history is behind us. The Asara Rugim Malkut were fixed, which was a major tikkun. But I'm going to tell you now, I heard from Vig Mekubal. They say that the neshama of each one of the Shevatim is like 600,000. Each one of the Shevatim is like 600,000. Neshama is very, very strong. When the Asara Rugim Malchut died, it wasn't like 10 rabbis died. Because if the neshama of each one of the Shevatim was like 600,000, so 600,000 times 10 is 6 million. The Mekubalim say that in those days there were people that were worth 6 million. You could take 10 that were worth 6 million. But then when that zechut ran out, we needed to go through again the tikkun of the Asara Shevatim again. But there wasn't 10 like that. Then unfortunately God had to take the actual numbers. But they say that what happened in the Holocaust of the 6 million, Hashem Yimkom Damam, that already was a form of a modern day Asara Harugei Malchut. But it was just in the quantity of it. And that's hopefully the final tikkun. David HaMelech said in Tehillim, En nekamot Adonai, En nekamot Ufiya. He said this regarding the Asara Harugei Malchut and regarding the Holocaust, Beruach HaKodesh, that God is going to take revenge. El nekamot Adonai, El nekamot Ufiya. So those that killed the Asara Harugei Malchut, the Romans, they didn't make a tikkun. They didn't know they were making a tikkun. They didn't say, L'shem Yahud B'Shem B'Richu Arenu Ba'li Kayyem Ezvat Aseh. They did it out of ruthlessness. Therefore they're not going to get reward. God was doing His business and the Romans were doing their own business. Therefore David HaMelech says, El nekamot Adonai, El nekamot Ufiya. And that's why when Reuven came back to the pit and he saw that Yosef wasn't there, he said, oh no. He says, that means they sold him already. That means it's going to be Asara Harugei Malchut. So all of a sudden, Reuven says to himself, Hayeled enenu, Yosef is not here. Ve'ana, ani, ve'ana, ani ba. Where am I going to go? Where am I going to hide my shame? I could have saved them. The Mekubalim say, what did he mean when he said, ve'ana, ana ani. Ana ani is Rashi Tevot. El nekamot Adonai, el nekamot, or el nekamot, ve'ani, ana ani ba. Ve'ani, el nekamot Adonai, ana, el nekamot Ufiya. He said, please God, take revenge against those Rishayim that are going to kill the Asara Harugei Malchut. And take revenge against Yimach Shemam, the Nazis that did the same thing. And I add that the Borei will also take revenge to all the Rishayim that have double-crossed our nation in the United Nations, and have double-crossed our nation in Washington and in the White House, and all these two-faced hypocrites that came along. Well, they're not two-faced. They're one-faced. It's just they hid that one face for. They didn't even do such a good hiding it, to be honest with you. But it became revealed, and we say the same thing. El nekamot Adonai, El nekamot Ufiya. And they made a big mistake because the land of Israel is a very sensitive country. You don't want to stand up in the land of Israel. The land of Israel is a land that's alive, it has feelings. And anybody that hurts the feelings of Eretz Yisrael, the land is a very good land, but you don't want to get it angry. Anybody in history that got the land angry, historically the land spits them out, the land rebukes them, the land chastises them, and it brings onish. And I don't doubt it that the land is not going to forgive this latest humiliation. that they can question if the land is to Am Yisrael. To question it. But at the same time, we must make the same introspection. We must say to ourselves, why all of a sudden now does it come in the world scene, does the Kotel HaMa'arabi belong to the Jews? And I'll tell you why. Because when all of a sudden the reform start to come to the Kotel HaMa'arabi, and they want to make minyanim with ladies over there, and they want to jump around with Sefer Torah in front of the Kotel, and they want something that didn't happen in 2,000 years of Jewish history. Never happened such a thing. So the reform come along and say, the Kotel belongs to us. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, the Kotel belongs to us. Now there's going to be a question in the world if the Kotel belongs to the Jews at all. Forget about reform. Now it's going to be a question who the Kotel belongs to at all. I don't believe that that's a coincidence. This is already the Borei Olam saying, what do you think? You're going to take the wall? You're going to take it from the Tiyin? I'll take the wall away from everybody. The wall will be now in question in the whole world, and maybe it doesn't even belong to Am Yisrael. There'll be question of such, which nobody ever questioned that. Nobody ever questioned the legality or the rights of Am Yisrael to the Kotel HaMa'arabi. In any event, I say the same thing. Ani ana aniba, in the kamot Adonai, in the kamot Rupiah, the God that has revenged the Romans. There's no more Romans. Finished. The revenge has finished. Nazis, yemach shemam v'zichram. Malchut HaRishah was uprooted and destroyed to the large majority of it. And as well, all those that rise up against Am Yisrael, doesn't matter if we're the minority. The miracle that we're celebrating now has proven that numbers do not produce necessarily a victory. That the underdog is able to win as well. Shekir Asus L'Tshu'ah U'Brob Halolu Yimalek. And therefore I pray that after the 6 million, Hashem, that should be the final tikkun. That's it. We made the tikkun. We paid the heavy price. And then, Be'ezat Hashem, as we light the menorah tonight and the rest of the nights, the Sadiqim say, Mashiach is Rashi Tevot. Madlikim Shemonat Yemei Hanukkah. Mashiach. That as we light the menorah, Be'ezat Hashem, Borei Olam will bring us the final tikkun and final redemption. Amen.